truth to your people. Lord God, hide me behind the cross. Take me out of the way, Lord God, and use me. Speak through me, Lord God. Speak words that will encourage. Speak words, Lord God, that will edify. Speak words, Lord God, that will have us have clarity during these situations, these times that we're going through. Lord God, we never would have imagined the things that are happening in this world today, but Lord God, you already knew. Mm-hmm. You are prepared for it. Yes. And so you've given us your word, the Bible, Lord God, to offer words of encouragement. Lord God, may this message be such a message to encourage us during this time and in this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Mm.
Boy, I don't know about y'all, but whew, these days and times are very bewildering.
Come on, man.
Come on. I don't know. I look at it and I read about the things that are going on, the things that are happening, and
help us, Lord.
Whew. Mm, if I didn't know God, I don't know what I'd do. I mean, it is so troubling. Look at just any and everything about the world. You look at the political landscape, our government and everything, yeah. and you look at the situation with people and the lack of being able to have just a roof over their head. Who'd ever would have thought that we have 20,000 homeless people here in this county alone? Wow. Bay Area. 20,000 people that go to bed every night not knowing where they're going to lay their head. And some of them are children, women, couples, working. But because of the economic conditions, not having a roof over their head.
My God. We need you, Lord.
And I think about all the devastation that's happening around the world and I was just getting worse and worse, and yet God has told us we've got to fight the good fight of faith. Yeah. We've got an enemy that is rearing his head because, like I said, I recently was at my job and I'd seen someone who wore a T-shirt saying glorifying Satan openly. You know, and then you look around the world, and there's a lot of people wearing crosses now. Wearing crosses, but it has no meaning to them other than it's a symbol. This cross here, people wear it around their neck, put it on their bodies and everything. And you ask them what it means, this look good. Part of the adornment, part of the making myself look acceptable and part of the in crowd.
Wow.
And I talk with a lot of people and just this week I was talking to some people and they were using profanity. And I don't know about y'all, but it's gotten to the point where profanity is normal language now. When I grew up, you know, they talking about wash your mouth out with soap.
Right, right.
And I told some coworkers they use the word damn a lot nowadays. Everybody's saying damn. And I said, well, do you know what that means? How many of y'all really know what the word damn means when people say God damn?
It's a curse. You're cursing them.
It's a curse. You're asking God's curse upon whatever you say. You want God to damn. You say damn that person, you want God to curse that person.
Yes, sir.
You say damn this, and you want God to bring down. You say damn, so God must be looking at this curse. That y'all say and keep saying damning it, so maybe I need to damn it. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, they say, well, it's just something you say nowadays. It's just something, this is another word they use. I said, but wait a minute. What about God bless?
Right.
Don't you say God bless and me for God bring his favor upon the situation? Upon somebody? Aren't you trying to encourage and bringing goodness and light and greatness upon them? And yeah. Well, then you, if you say God bless and you mean it, then when you say God damn, you mean it. At least God says, I take it that way, because God said, don't use my name in vain. So in this atmosphere of all the things that are going on, we Christians are going to have to stand up.
Yes, sir.
We're going to have to stand up. We're going to have to stand up and fight. And that's why I've been talking about the good fight of faith the last time I talked to you about standing up and fighting the good fight of faith. How many of y'all believe we should be fighting the good fight of faith? How many of you want to fight a good fight of faith?
Every day.
Amen.
Every day.
Okay. So what does it take?
Come on now.
What does it take to fight the good fight of faith? Are you really sure you can fight that fight? Because, like I told you, you're fighting Satan. One of the enemies you're fighting is going to be Satan. So how is it that you're going to fight Satan? How is it that we fight Satan? Ooh. Well, let's look at our scripture for this morning. It says, Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. These are instructions now. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. He's trying to make sure you understand. You got to take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand. Go back to 14. Stand therefore, having your waist girded with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Mm-hmm. Above all, taking a shield of faith with you, you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Yeah, what does it take to fight the good fight of faith? This passage of scripture tells us what it takes. When you look at Ephesians 6:10, it's saying we need to do what? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're being strong in God, in the Lord, and in the power of his might. In other words, we got to have an attitude. We're going out there to fight, but we're not fighting to fight ourselves. We couldn't fight Satan. So what is it going to take? It takes us leaning and depending upon God. How many of y'all, when you would have been like David, or would you have been like all the rest of them ones when David went out to fight Goliath? Remember the story of Goliath? Everybody else saw Goliath, that big, tall warrior, the champion. His head would have probably been up to the ceiling, strapped with all that equipment they're talking about, his armor, his helmet, his sword, and his shield, and he equipped for the battle. And how many of us, when we saw that enemy coming in, would have fled? Would you have fled, or would you have stood and stood your grounds? I mean, that's literally, we're still fighting that fight today. We're fighting that kind of fight today. We're fighting an enemy that is, when we look at it in and of ourselves, we don't have a win. But it, Scripture says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Oh, being strong in the Lord, that's saying something. That means that you have to have confidence in God. That means you have to have confidence that you're going to have a victory. How many of you, when you go into a situation and it's very troubling and you don't know certainly that you're going to be confident God going to bring you through? How many of you been in that situation? Again, that's the situation you got to look at. That you're in a situation that all you got is God and God alone. And you got to believe that God's power is more than enough. God's power. The power of God. Not in us. And see, that's kind of difficult nowadays because I don't know about y'all, because I look around and I see so many things that we can do nowadays, it just blows my mind. Look at all the technology we have. We have cell phones. We can reach out to just about any time, any place. We have technology that allows us to leave this earth and go into outer space. I mean, we're able to do some incredible, incredible things with what we do. And it's almost like I'm thinking that we got to the point where we have almost said we don't need God because of all the stuff we can do. So are you going to rely upon God's power or the power of man? And I sometimes wonder myself, because I can get caught up. It's easy to be caught up. I mean, we got cars that are driving themselves now. I mean, I just think over and over again how it is now compared to what it is, and now I can understand why young folks today would say, what do I need God for? What do I need a God for when man has been able to do all these things? Whew. Boy. So if we're fighting a good fight of faith, we as Christians have got to have confidence in the Lord, being strong in him. We've got to have an attitude of praising God even before the victory is won. We got to be patient during the battle. I mean, there is so much. We got the wrong message up there. Okay, I changed that, and I guess I didn't change it on the slide. Oh, well, y'all going to have to really, really bear with me. No wonder y'all having difficulty. Okay. Let me go back and see what we had, because, okay. So, again, the thing is, being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And again, when we think of the power of God's might, what do you really think of when you think of God's power? Do you go back and remember that God's power is enough to say the earth is being formed? That universe, everything that is, God spoke it into existence. That's the power you should immediately think of. That's God. That's power. And I don't know about y'all, but I read a lot on the science, and they say they discovered, y'all heard of black holes? They say they supposedly have found one, and they talk about how much gravity and how big it is. And God made that. God made the black hole. More power than we can even begin to imagine. It's so far away, and God made that. The fact that we're just now discovering it is the miracle of Bible. Every time I hear man finding something, I said, my God. My God, my God, my God. Look at you display your power. And then after you look at yourself having the right attitude of relying upon God's power and being strong in him, you got a second thing is deal with having the right equipment. How many of you know that when you fight in a battle, you got to have the right equipment? If you're a policeman, you got to have the right equipment. If you're a soldier, you got to have the right equipment. How many of y'all like somebody that was going to give you CPR, show up without the right equipment? How about firemen who come out to fight the fire and they don't have the fire truck with the hose and all the right equipment? Would you want that? You can't fight right the battle. So here they are, we as Christians, we're fighting a battle, and the battle is against a very, very strong opponent. Strong opponent. In and of itself, he eats us up all day long. But this armor is such that it protects us against that enemy. Because the enemy we are fighting against is one, the devil. And it says he's not flesh and blood. How you gonna fight an enemy that's not flesh and blood? Okay, what else do we have to have protection against? It's against the principality. In other words, these governments that are running things. Do you know that man, as long as he's been on earth, there has been somebody in charge of the things of this world? There's been these governments, rulers, kings, people who you know, and in essence, gangs are a principality. If you ever grew up in the city, you grew up around gangs, and they're principality because they said, this is our territory, and you can't. One of the things that we're seeing now and they're talking about is the people are coming up out of Central America. One of the reasons they're trying to escape those principalities, those gangs that control everything. You didn't understand that. That's what it is. Wherever you go, there's principality. In the corporate world, there are corporations that control things. These are principalities that are in control. Again, we're going to have to fight armor, have to fight the armor that will help us fight the rulers of darkness. This is age. You know, we've got a president in office that is so wicked, so wicked, so evil. Okay. From a Christian perspective, that the only thing that will allow us to have victory is God's armor. A lot of us are trying to do it politically, but it's going to take God's armor. Because we need to stand. Remember when Dr. Martin Luther King was fighting the Civil Rights Movement? Yep. He had to fight against an enemy that was very wicked. He had to fight against those same political powers and governmental powers now. And what did he do? How did he fight it? He put on the armor of God. And eventually he got victory. And lastly, there's spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places, these heavenly places. Did you know Satan gets to run around heaven? Did you know that? Satan gets to walk around heaven. Remember when he was in heaven with Job? He was in heaven. Remember when he was walking around heaven and God said, what you doing up here? And he said, well, I'm just walking around here. And God asked him, well, you know, and he said, well, you know, I'm kind of perplexed because I can't do no damage down there. God said, what about Job? And he said, well, you know, you got your hand, arm, or head to protect around Job. And God said, well, go ahead and attack him. How many of y'all have ever felt like you've been under spiritual attack? By a spouse? By your children? By loved ones? Boy, there are some spiritual forces. And I think Brother Ryan was talking about some spiritual forces here in the church today. It's spiritual forces, yeah, attacking us. And the question is, how are you going to respond? Because it's on your jobs. It's when you step out of your car. T.A. was talking about those spiritual forces that were attacking him last week on the way to church. Everywhere you go, there are spiritual forces. So if you're going to fight this fight against these people, against this, you got to have the armor of God on you. And what does this armor of God consist of? It consists of, first of all, a breastplate of righteousness. Why do you need a breastplate of righteousness? This is where the breastplate journey goes on. And why is it that you need a breastplate? What is it protecting? What's inside here? What's inside this area here? What's the most vulnerable part you have inside this area here? When police shoot, why do they shoot here? What are they trying to do? They're trying to kill you. Because they know if you can hit this organ, the heart, you're going to die. So God knows that heart is one of the most vulnerable parts about us. And so he says, I'm going to put a breastplate of righteousness. Make for you a breastplate of righteousness to protect you. Because remember, we're in a war that the enemy's ready to take you out. He's got snipers ready. If you give him a chance, he's aiming for that heart. And how many of y'all, when you have been heartbroken, how many of you been heartbroken? Ooh-wee. Isn't that some pain? That's some pain. And so Satan knows that the heart is a very fragile, emotionally fragile thing that if he can get at you, he can almost make you turn away from God. Have you realized there are people who turn away from God because they became so heartbroken over some of the situations in their life? God, why did you take my love away? God, why did you do this? Or God, why did you? Oh, they become so angry with God because their heart got attacked because they didn't have that breastplate of righteousness. They had a breastplate of righteousness. So I believe God, because it said the just, the righteous shall live by faith. So when you have a breastplate of righteousness, then you have that trust in God that will allow you to be protected against those things that are going to come against you. Because, hey, I don't know if anybody yet hasn't lost a loved one or will lose a loved one. And that's one of the most tough things. Or you see someone who's a loved one going through a prolonged illness. Brother Ryan, you know it. Or you set your mind on having this goal. I mean, if you've had dreams and things, and you had dreams. I don't know about y'all, but I had dreams, and when those dreams don't come, they collapse. Ooh, that can be some heartache and some damage in that. Or divorce. Those are all heartaches. That if you don't have that breastplate of righteousness, God's help, that can almost kill you or destroy you or get you so mad you want to go and do something wrong. So you got to have that breastplate of righteousness, God's thing to protect your heart, to protect your heart. And then you want to have your feet protected. And what that protection is, the gospel preparation, the gospel. And how many of you know if you haven't been on a place where you've been stepping on something that's very sharp? What is it like when you're on something that's sharp and you ain't got no shoes or no protection on it? Ouch. So you need, because we, guess what? What are we going out there when we go out there and go out there and fight that battle? We going out there to tell people that about the gospel, about the good news. It says the preparation of the good news. And so we're going out there to tell people about the good news, about something is we know it's good. But you can confront some people that don't like what we got to say. And I was talking in Sunday school and said, the strangest thing is all we're doing is sharing good news. And people get mad at you for sharing good news. I said, why are you getting upset? If you don't believe it, but they do, they get upset. So you got to have something on your feet that's going to make you not sensitized or feel the pain when somebody don't like what you're saying, and they're going to want to find a way to attack you. So one of the ways they can attack is through your feet. So again, we've got to be fully equipped. And then we got to have a shield of faith. We got a breastplate of righteousness, now a shield of faith. What happens if you don't have that shield of faith? When the enemy comes to strike, you got to have that shield to fight it off. So we're going to have a shield of faith. How many of y'all go out there in a battle without a shield? See, a lot of y'all may not get this because you never really been in a battle. And see, this is an old analogy for a battle. Nowadays, if you had to look at it, they probably have them bulletproof vests and helmets and all the stuff they got. They got modern equipment, but it's the same stuff. You got to protect yourself. And you seen, in fact, you ever seen the modern day equipment, them shields now? You ever seen them SWAT people? They got them shields up. Got a little cycle, but they're going in. They got to protect themselves. Because, again, I've seen some of them things where they go in and try to take those prisons down in themselves. Them prisons use whatever they can. They even use their feces, say, or spitting on you, whatever they can, because they trying to get at you. They say, and so essentially, this is the kind of enemy you find. He don't play fair. This enemy you are fighting does not play fair. He's going to do whatever he can to take us out. And if we're not wise and we're not protected, that very little thing that we didn't have protection for is going to take us out. So we got to have a shield. And then what about your head? What's inside your head? What's inside your head? Your brain. The place where you think and everything. And if you ever get your brain injured, what happens? You suffer concussions. They show a lot of these football players and stuff out there fighting. And they, even when they have arms on, they're getting damage done to them. So again, a helmet is very crucial to protect you in a very... Because, again, we're talking about faith. A helmet of, no, it's the helmet of salvation. And what does salvation consist of? It's an acknowledgement that we're sinners and that we need God and we believe in the blood of Jesus to give us salvation. And so what is it that you want to take away when you wouldn't attack them? You want to attack somebody's belief system. And that belief system is here. So when you're out there and you're fighting that battle, you're fighting a battle for the mind. And so you want to have a helmet to protect your mind. And then, also, we've been talking about defense primarily. What about if you want to go on offense in the battle? What do you need? You need some kind of weapon, right? And this, back in them days, Paul said, well, you need a sword. Back in them days, you know, if you didn't have a sword, you couldn't be in no battle. Remember, I don't know if y'all remember the story of the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. One of the things was they didn't have any weapons. That's when they were worried about fighting Pharaoh and his army because they didn't have no weapons. The whole thing is, how are you going to fight an enemy that comes with weapons and you don't have one? So you got to have a weapon. You got to have a weapon to fight that war. And then and that weapon, that sword, is your word of God. See, we can be on offense when we know the word of God and people come at us. We can counter that by saying what thus says the Lord. The word of God. Have you ever noticed, how many of y'all know how powerful the word of God is? It says it's powerful and swift, the discerning of cutting or bone or marrow. It's powerful. It's a powerful weapon. And so if you're going to have a sword, what do you need? you better baby use it, right? It ain't just good enough just to have a sword, but you got to have it, baby use it. Know how to slice and dice and cut. And if the sword is the word, then what do we need? To know it. It does no good to say, well, I got the sword, and it's you never take it out of the shield, or you leave it at home. what does it look like if you're going out there to fight, and you run into a battle, and you're gonna tell them, hey, I can't fight right now. I gotta go home and get my shield. you ain't got no sword. Oh yeah, you done for. We ain't letting you go home and get no sword. Suppose you have that sword, but it's like you don't know how to use it. You ever seen those movies where the guy got the sword and he pulls out, but he don't know how to use it and he drops it and everything? I mean, he look foolish, don't he? That's what we be like. Again, we got a sword, a powerful, powerful sword, and we don't use it. We don't carry it. And to me, the promises and the word of God, what it says, how could anybody want not use that? I mean, anything, everything you want. God said, it's more than you could ever begin to believe, see, think of. My word is there. So if you got a sword that's like that, okay, suppose somebody roll up on you with a sword that's 2 feet long or 3 feet long, and you got to fight him. Guess what? God says, don't worry, your sword is longer than theirs. Your sword is bigger than theirs. I'm going to give you what you need. See, that's what God is telling us. Your word, it's going to be more than enough for whatever situation you're going to have, handle. What about if I'm attacked by, you know, those movies, I love those Kung Fu movies, not only where they can, them the guys be killing 20 and 30 people with they got the weapon, they know how to use it. Hey, that's what we like. That's what it's like. We got the sword that will do whatever is needed when it's needed when the time comes. See, that's the amazing thing. We got that, and yet we act like we don't have anything because we don't know what we should know. And lastly, the most important thing he says, it's good to have all that. It's good to have all the equipment and stuff. But what's even more important, that ties it all together, is prayer. Our prayer. You know, because again, one of the things what prayer does is makes us commune with God and gives us the confidence about that equipment. Because God gave us all that, but, you know, it's cool. You got it. You got it. But will you use it, or will you say, well, I got all this, but you know, you better stay in connection with God, because that prayer with God, that prayer with God helps you to see how and when God wants you. Because sometimes God said, you don't need to even fight that battle. You got that equipment, but you ain't got to fight. I got this battle. Another time said, yeah, do over here and do this over here. So it's very important to have that prayer along with the weapons, because that prayer, it's the directions, the instruction. It's God's guidance, lordship of how and where to use your weapons. So again, God wants us to fight. How many of y'all want to fight and lose the battle? Have anybody ever fought? You ever had a fight? I mean, us guys do. We'll throw up. I've had a few scuffles in my life. I didn't like to lose. And one of the things is, if they came at me, and if some of them, I said, okay, I might lose, but I'm going to make sure you have such a tough battle that you won't come back. And so that we as Christians have to realize Satan's going to come at us. And guess what? You may lose. But it says the getting up. The part about the battle is getting up. You got to be willing to baby get up after you've fallen, after you've been defeated. So again, good fight of faith requires all that, and requires you have that spirit that will persevere, that spirit that will overcome, that spirit will use all that God has given you, and have a mind to will utilize it. I hope all of you here now will go back and reread Ephesians 6, 10 to 18, and look at your weapons. Look what God has provided you. And understand that you need to look deeper into that and see what are that you don't have already. And what are that you have but you're not utilizing. And be prepared for battle. Because how many of y'all believe a battle's coming? How many of y'all believe a serious spiritual battle is upon us or is coming? How many of y'all believe that? If it's coming, or if it's here, you can't wait till it gets here to get ready. You got to be prepared now. So I gave you this message to get you ready to fight the good fight. Because they already told us we're supposed to fight a good fight. We as Christians ain't going to go out to be no wimps. We're some bad people. Every one of God's men and women were bad. So I just want to encourage you to be one of them bad Christian folks for God. God bless you.